This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to Audioscope. If you were blind or visually impaired, or are blind or vision impaired, would you like to be cured? Would you like to be able to see? There are people with different views, so that's our topic for today. Is a cure a good idea? I'm joined by Avril Daly, the Public Affairs Executive from Fighting Blindness, Joe Bollard, who's a regular contributor, Audrey Tormey and Jimmy Gallagher. So, is a cure a good idea? Avril, you're involved with Fighting Blindness, and Fighting Blindness would be one of the organisations that tries to promote research to find cures to blindness, is that true?
Yes, Bethan. Fighting Blindness is the only Irish charity currently funding research into blindness here in Ireland. And we're committed to finding treatments and cures for all forms of blindness through the funding and promotion of Irish research specifically. So that's what we're looking to do.
So presumably working for Fighting Blindness and members of Fighting Blindness feel that a cure for blindness, i.e. to either prevent sight loss or to reverse sight loss, is a good thing.
Yes,
fundamentally.
Fundamentally, yes, absolutely. I mean, that's really it in a nutshell. I think it's important to note that many of the members of Fighting Blindness are people who are losing their sight through particular types of conditions. So they may have started off as people who had were fully sighted at one point of their lives and then began to lose their sight either through retinitis pigmentosa, which is tunnel vision, where peripheral side vision is lost over a period of time, or through macular degeneration, which is where the central vision is lost over a period of time. So what they essentially would like is either a treatment that would arrest the condition where it is right now, so that that would allow them to live independent lives that they're living currently, or to cure it altogether and knock out the gene that is responsible for the condition in certain cases, or in the cases where there isn't a genetic component, that they can stop the condition progressing.
Jimmy, you don't have a condition that's progressive, I understand, but yet you feel that you would like, if there was a cure available so that you could see tomorrow, what would your reaction be?
Well, as having been blind all my life, I have had a good full life and got to do things which I never dreamed possible at one time. But certainly if the opportunity to have my sight restored, I would certainly...
Why?
..go for it. Well, it would give me great independence and maybe enable me to return some of the favours which I've benefited from over many years. So I think it would be a huge and fantastic, exciting development.
That's interesting, something that both of Avril and Jimmy have said, that it linking blindness with a lack of independence. Mm. So this, if I could see, I could be independent. Audrey, is that the way you... What if we had a cure for you tomorrow... for your sight, i.e. that you would be able to see tomorrow.
People would be very jubilant about them, but no, I don't think I'd go with a cure. I lost my sight in early childhood. I don't remember seeing. It could be passed on, say, you know, to children, but I don't think... No, I'm happy the way I am, and I don't think I'd like to have a cure. Yes, I'm curious about things I have never seen, but no, I'm grand the way I am. Well, at least I think I am.
So if somebody offered this cure tomorrow, you would be no?
No, definitely I would be a no.
What about you, Joe?
I think I'd be undecided, I think. First of all, I, like Audrey, have been blind since I was 2. I'm used to being blind. It would need a lot of sort of rehabilitation. It would be sort of the whole thing in reverse, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If I was totally honest with my hand on my heart, I think I would like to see. I'd like to be able to see, but whether I'd like to stay being able to see.
So it's a temporary cure.
Yeah, a sort of a temporary cure. But I was reading something the other day that maybe Avril might be able to come up with. I read that they reckon that by 2020 there'll be, 100 million blind people in the world? It's going the other way, apparently, rather than getting cured, is it not?
Because of age, I think.
Age-related, yeah.
And also because of our lifestyle. There are certain life conditions that are associated with lifestyles, such as...
Type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, diabetic retinopathy, obesity can result...
Have I got rid of the thread for the programme now?
No.
You've changed it. So we have people who are very definitely in favour of kind of cure, and people who wouldn't want to cure.
And one who's undecided, Bethan.
Yeah, I wonder where I'd sit. I'd probably be somewhat undecided. Part of me would like to be able to kind of read print, but then I think, well, why not just, rather than spend money trying to cure me and make me able to see, why not produce all the books in the formats that then I can read? And rather than, maybe I'd quite like to be able to drive or be able to move around without a guide dog or whatever, but then why don't we just create a world where I can move around on public transport as easily? What is it that's so much better about seeing? Yeah, Avril, what do your...
I think really it is very much dependent on the individual and the type of condition that they have and when they acquire their visual impairment and how it's acquired. Certainly people, I suppose, who have come from a sighted world where they have had the experience of being, you know, in quotes, fully independent, you know, insofar as that they have had the ability to, I need to go to the shop very urgently to get whatever and I can hop in my car. To have that taken from you is probably where that's coming from. Certainly in our experience in fighting blindness and dealing with people with various different visual impairments, you will find that people who were born possibly with a visual impairment or did acquire it very early as you did, then, you know, it's you know, you have a comfort in where you are. I mean, you're used to being you and you know that you can live your life the way you choose to. Yeah. You know, without requiring to be able to see, you know, perfectly. So it's basically it's something that, you know, you've adapted to, and perhaps, you know, if there was a cure for your condition, it might be very, very difficult for you to adapt to a sighted world. And I think it's very important for people to understand that. But I do think it depends on the type of condition, when it is acquired in life, and you know, if it's something also that is genetic. You know, it's something that we've spoken about, Bethan. You know, I mean, passing a gene on to somebody, or some people would say, oh, maybe if I can knock out that gene, that means that, you know, I can be guaranteed that future generations of my family don't have to go through this transition period that I've had to go through, where I've had to adapt to, you know, not being able to all of a sudden do what I thought I'd always be able to do, you know. So I mean, it's really a lot to do with that, and people who are unprepared for a change in vision. I mean, you know, there are genetic conditions that cause people to lose their sight, but ORP being one of them. But I mean, for example, myself, you know, developing ORP at 22 years of age is something that you're not quite prepared for, where there's no genetic history in the family. Mm. So it's quite shocking then in that stage. So you kind of want back the life that you had.
Yeah, so about to come to you, yeah. Would you, if a cure was available, would you be wanting it?
I think I would. I mean, currently, I mean, I would be very happy if the condition was arrested where it is, because I do have quite good central vision. And, you know, my only real problem at the moment is night blindness, not being able to see anything in the dark or whatever. And certainly I can see, I understand that it's progressing. But I would be quite happy for it to just stop where it is, because I've adapted, you know, yeah. to where I am right now. But I think if there was a cure, I think I would like to, depending on, you know, various different, you know.
Are you saying then, Avril, that what you've never had, you've never missed?
But you know, I mean, I think it's quite simplistic, though. I don't think it's that simple. No. I really don't think it is. I mean, I think there is a curiosity of, yeah, you know, what definitely. Is that? And you know, the kind of a natural need to see something, maybe, or something. But it's different. I just think it's different in each case. It really, really is.
But, Jimmy, you're coming from a situation, you know, Audrey has said that, you know, this is who she is. She has the skills of blindness or whatever. Loss of sight doesn't necessarily mean loss of independence.
No, it doesn't, definitely.
Jimmy, you obviously must have the skills of blindness. You've been blind all of your life as well. Why? How come that there's this difference? I can understand if somebody's losing their sight and is coming from a sighted position. Why do you think a cure would be useful for?
Oh, it would be hugely useful. It would give me much greater independence. It will give me the capacity to help other people. I would understand what kind of help is needed, and it would be just so useful just to go to the loo in a pub or a restaurant. Just the most simple things, to walk freely along a beach or a road or a mountain. It's just incredible.
But Jimmy, all those things can be achieved if you don't.
They can be achieved, but
if you don't have full vision,
not with this. You can achieve them with greater independence if you can see. You can see this. The
you see, I don't see blindness and independence as being synonymous. I mean, certainly, okay, it does have an impact on how independent one is. But I think it's all about Avril mentioned, you mentioned adaptability and being adapting. I think it's all about where somebody is psychologically at a point in their life, and that's Jimmy's, not static.
Jimmy's just said, okay, imagine walking freely along a beach and seeing a sunset. You can't do that.
I can walk freely along a beach.
No, you can't see a sunset.
Can't see the sunset.
No, but you can.
So you're not missing out, not being able to see the sunset. Would you not like to know what the sunset looks like?
No, but we use other senses. We can feel like the sun if the sun is shining. I mean, okay.
But you can't look across a mountain.
No, you can't look across
a mountainside. Is that? Would it not be worth having a cure to so that you could see
just to see the sunset?
Well, what I do.
I'm biased in this either.
I feel like, I mean, okay, the next best thing to that for me would be reading about. And that's why I think books and reading are so, they just fire the imagination because, I mean, obviously I can't see it for myself. So you're taking a second-hand interpretation of that which is not visually accessible to me.
I think we want to be very careful here because there could be people listening to us who would have maybe, I'm touching a little bit on what Avril was saying here, people who maybe have just gone blind and be very raw and very, you know, and we could be very careful here what we're saying because I have been blind, as I said, most of my life, but my heart goes out to anybody, whether they're young or old, who suddenly become blind.
Absolutely, and it's about that it's about skills of blindness, isn't it? Yeah, in many ways, it's very, very hard to adapt.
I'm just curious, though, the notion of cure, like, does that, if it's not kind of attainable, is that not raising people's hopes, kind of, in kind of a strange kind of a way?
Avril, is it? Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think that doing research and hoping for cures raises people's hopes?
I think we have to be very careful.
Yeah, I think
it's something that I think that organisations like ours and other vision groups should be very careful and mindful of, and something that we are. We, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever some people think, it's we're very much a society that believe everything we read sometimes. And what really frustrates me is you can see in the newspaper one day, you know, cure for blindness, and we will get hundreds of calls from people who read some obscure article about a research project that's going on in you know, the US or Australia or something, and they think that there is a cure. And I am then in the unfortunate situation where I have to explain to somebody whose hopes have been raised that actually that may be a component to a cure that's further down the line.
Yes, yeah.
And it's not tomorrow. And it's not the day after tomorrow. You're talking about, you know, at least 5 to 7 years before there is a treatment for certain conditions, and maybe 10 before there is a cure. I mean, there is a huge, there is a very long process to all forms of medical research.
Even some of the so-called cures that have been quite well documented have resulted in restoration of partial vision, which may not necessarily be useful vision.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it could be just partial vision. So it's very important to have all of the facts. And we like to be able to tell people, you know, this is a possibility, but not today and not next year. There is a long process from a research point of view. There are clinical trials for a reason. In the world, you know, there are three stages of clinical trials before a drug will go from basically the bench to the bedside where they're, you know, in the lab to where somebody can avail of the treatment through their GP or their ophthalmologist. Now, that's for a reason. It's because we need to be sure that before we administer any therapy, that it's not going to cause any problems to another part of the body or further deteriorate vision or, you know, destroy the whole visual pathway or anything like that. So, I mean, these things have to be borne in mind, and it is a long process. And sometimes clinical trials can be in stage two of a clinical trial and it can all be going very, very well. And then all of a sudden something happens and you have to go back to the drawing board. Mm. But I would say, though, and I don't think that this is far-fetched, and certainly it's been very well documented, there are certain treatments that will benefit people in the short term. Mm. There are therapies that are coming to the stage now where, you know, you can almost see where they are going to, you know, when we're going to be able to avail of them. You know, so it's realistic to say that there will be cures in the future, but as I say, not in the next 3 to 5 years, you know.
And for particular conditions?
For particular conditions, you know, I mean, certainly, I mean, I can only speak for retinal degenerative degenerative diseases such as, you know, retinitis pigmentosa or AMD, things like Stargardt's disease, Leber's amaurosis. There's a lot of work going on here in Ireland in relation to these conditions and internationally. And as the world, you know, is becoming smaller, we're learning more from our colleagues in other countries, and people are working more closely together, and that will certainly accelerate the speed of finding a cure. But there are other things like the bionic eye, for example, which everybody, when you talk about this, I mean, certainly when you go around to schools talking about the bionic eye, the children just, you get so excited about this because they're thinking of Star Trek and all of this. But I mean, the reality is we're working at the moment in Ireland on developing an artificial retina that will cure people who have not just ORP but other forms of retinal disease, you know, so that you're talking about replacing the retina. That's actually quite realistic. There's a lot of work that's going on at the moment. There's a clinical trial going on in Germany, which is very, very exciting, and which is looking at this particular research as well. And, you know, I mean, they are in phase two of a clinical trial for this right now. So, I mean, realistically, if it's all going well, there could be something available in about three to five years. So, I mean, that's something that could benefit other people as well. So, I mean, this is realistic. I mean, this is actually happening.
Okay, it's great to hear that there are cures available, or that the cures are. It's based still on the assumption that it's not okay to be blind.
Well, absolutely, and yeah, I think it's important. It's important, you know, for people to understand that if a cure is available, you don't have to avail of the cure. I mean, it's up to the individual if they want to avail of the cure or a treatment that might be, you know, they can. I mean, it's up to them. And if it's suitable for them, of course, and if it's something that's not going to do any, you know, I mean, if it's suitable to the particular condition. But it's up to the individual. I mean, some people certainly who have degenerative diseases won't want a cure, of course. I mean, you know, there is...
Another thing, that whether blindness is okay or not, or whether we're happy about being blind. Earlier on, we were talking about adapting to blindness, and that it's more difficult for people who have been sighted before and things. Jimmy, would like a cure if there was one available. Does that imply that you're not adapted to being blind?
No, I think
not. Or
I'm
that you're not happy as a blind person?
I'm well adapted to being blind, no problem at all. I'm very comfortable with being blind. Now, it didn't happen overnight, but at this point I have no difficulty whatever about explaining to somebody what my needs might be. But I'm very lucky. I'm at this point confident, comfortable, and I can make my needs known readily enough.
And your view would be the standard, I would imagine, that would be held by most of the general public, that if you can cure something that's an imperfection, then it's better to cure it.
Yes.
It's better to enable people to see sunsets and to read print and to walk along beaches. And
give them a choice anyway.
Find toilets.
Yes.
Audrey, why is it something that...
When I first heard the idea, I mean, if I'm to be kind of cynical about the whole situation, I just think it's just the connotations that kind of cures and blindness kind of, for me, denote or kind of convey. And, I mean, it's a bit like kind of, you know, cleansing the society of people who are blind or vision impaired. And I don't see there's a need for that. I mean, I think, okay, if people want a choice, fair enough to go for these cures or operations, no problem. And I think it does impact on people's, you know, because for me, I think personality and, say, the fact that I can't see are interlinked and connected.
Have you ever been asked whether you'd like a cure?
Well,
I'm sure, no, I'll come to Joe in a minute. Yeah.
No, I haven't.
From a sort of an average kind of person that you'd meet on the street, has anyone ever said, would you like to be able to?
Yeah, I would. And I've had people tell me who don't know me that, you should be cured, you'd have all your problems solved then. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if, and they kind of launch into a spiel. But
and how do you respond to that?
I listened kind of politely and I said, no, I don't think you're not selling me the concept or the idea. I wouldn't be interested in being cured.
Joe, you kind of smiled, I think.
Why is it when people lose their sight, not necessarily even lose their sight, when people, I'm going to get into trouble here, but why is it when you meet somebody and they say, how long have you been blind? And you say, well, I've been blind most of my life. Did you ever go to Lourdes? So immediately they want me to you know, they want to run, have a collection and among their friends at work to send me to Lourdes.
Yeah.
And they haven't even asked me whether I want to go or not. But, you know, we could send you to Lourdes or Fatima or Medjugorje or somewhere and we could get you cured. And I have to politely say, well, no. Mm. Their idea is good and they mean well. But they forget that maybe, you know, people need faith and things to go to there. But I've been asked by numerous, some of my best friends are taxi drivers. If you want to know anything about anything in life, talk to a taxi driver. It doesn't matter what it is. And they will say, how long, the first question they will ask you is, how long have you been blind? And I often wonder, what difference does that make?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Why are they asking me how long have I been blind? But I love taxi drivers. And I usually say, well, all of my life, I said, did you ever think of going here? Do you ever think of doing this? And I don't. I'm honest with them. I say, no, I don't. I don't spend the day wondering, you know, will I go to Lourdes to be cured or will I go to this hospital? And that. But what I want to say here is that I admire tremendously the work done by Fighting Blindness. I think they do a tremendous amount of work with research. And if I could ask Avril, are we in Dublin or in Ireland one of the leading lights in this, if you'll pardon the pun?
Well, actually we are. And it's something that, you know, I think that as a society we should be proud of, regardless, you know, of what your opinions are about the cure. Because the reality is that, you know, this was all set up by families who were affected by these conditions, who said they wanted a cure for their children or they wanted a cure for themselves, and they knew it was genetic, and they said, okay, we don't want to lose any more of our sight and we want to find a cure, and set up the research and fundraise themselves in the 80s to set up the research. And within a couple of years, those projects, or this one specific project, became the first to find the gene responsible for causing ORP. And so, I mean, that's a significant development, and was a significant development, and has often been referred to internationally as the cornerstone of the whole retinal research area. So, I mean, it is, and there's a lot of research going on in Ireland that I think we should be very, very proud of, and we are doing, we're far and away.
And I'm looking forward to hopefully in the future we'll do a programme about fighting blindness and about some of this research, so that we can actually hear the kind of research. Yeah. Jimmy, when you're asked if you want a cure, I presume you don't spend all of your time wishing for a cure. It's just that we happen to be talking about this topic that you express your views. Is that true?
Oh, that's true, Bethany.
So it's still an abstract notion. It's not something that you're hoping for every day.
I'm not hoping for it at all, because having been blind all my life, I think there's no prospect in my lifetime, but hopefully in years to come, Fighting Blindness and other such organisations will bring about cures and prevention methods and early detection, all of which will be very important in reducing the numbers of blind people.
Well, and when somebody says, would you like a cure, or would you like to go to Lourdes, as Joe and Audrey have spoken about?
Well,
how do you respond to that?
I don't know what Joe has got that I don't. Nobody ever offers to send me anywhere.
I think on that note, unfortunately,
on a one-way ticket, maybe, but
unfortunately, we've run out of time, so on that note, we'll have to leave it. Thank you very much, Jimmy Gallagher, Joe Bollard, Audrey Tormey and Avril Daly. That's it for this week. We'll see you again next time. Goodbye.